recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Pulling Up a Chair with me, Tim, also known as A Chair Shot, which is just my Twitter handle. You can find me on Twitter, at A Chair Shot. You can find me on Instagram, at Patient Prowler. Apparently, the story behind that is that A Chair Shot is a banned account on Instagram. I wasn't able to get that handle, so that's kind of my sub name, I guess, is the Patient Prowler, which I got from figure hunting. And just being patient, always on the prowl, but playing the long game, looking for deals and not rushing out and just blowing money to be the first guy in line to post his pictures online and let everybody know he got the figure first. That's not me. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate it. This episode's going to be another one that's a little bit different than the standard go-to formula of having a guest on and kind of getting to know them and share them with the community from corner to corner. It doesn't matter who you're friends with or who you're not friends with. The goal of this podcast has been from day one to unify everybody and familiarize everybody with different people. And whether you get along with people or not, that's up to you. I choose to get along with everybody because this is just a hobby and we're grown adults collecting toys. And so I try to reach out to everybody and try to connect with everybody I can and just, you know, keep the positivity going. And that's, like I say, from corner to corner, from the UK to Australia to Japan to wherever people are listening, collecting wrestling figures. I want to connect with everybody. So I appreciate you guys listening. This episode is just going to be kind of going over some of the things going on in the figure world, wrestling figure specifically, and some other tidbits that have crossed the wrestling world in the last couple weeks. Kind of wanted to start off with this past weekend. I had a chance to get out to a house show. I wasn't going to go, but the more I thought about it, there's a house show in my little podunk town, and I decided to just go ahead and head in. And I would say it was a B-town event, as they say in the old days, but it's probably more like a C show. But it was a blast. I got to get over there and see a live wrestling show, and it's been a long time. So for me, I just enjoyed being there in the element, you know. And there were some interesting things that came out of that. One was the return of Braun Strowman to action. And I thought it was just so cool. He got probably the biggest pop of the night, and which was kind of cool because all of his detractors that have been negative about him and just trying to bring him down and get him canceled and all this stuff, he came out and the crowd was eating it up, man. They give him a huge welcome back chant. And when I say huge, I'm not talking WrestleMania, but for a small town, which we are, it was the chant of the night for sure. And then, so he was in a 6-man tag match with the Usos. On one side, it was the Usos and their brother Solo against Braun and the New Day, which was in this instance, Kofi and Xavier Woods. And during the match, the crowd was chanting, "We want Strowman." And this guy's a monster. I mean, the name Monster of Men is perfect for him. He is so big in person. I'm not a small person by any imagination, and he makes me feel like I am. I mean, Braun Strowman is a giant. So it was cool to see him back, and I hope he's able to take advantage of his second opportunity in the WWE and make good of it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him and how that might transcend into wrestling figures. He's definitely got the size and strength to be an awesome wrestling figure, which some of his older ones are pretty cool as far as I'm concerned. And it'll just be interesting to see how that transcends into wrestling figures moving forward with whatever direction he goes forward with. Drew Gulak was there, which I, to be honest, had forgotten he was under WWE contract, but he had a funny bit with Killer Cross, you know, basically saying that, you know, his great-grandfather on his mom's side was from our hometown, and so pretty much that means that he's from our hometown, and we don't back down, do we? And tried to get the crowd fired up, and then Killer Cross was announced and came to the ring. And you could see Drew, it was just great chemistry and acting on his part. You know, he's trying to scourge up the mantra of us not backing down as a city, you know, and but he knows he's getting in the ring with Cross, and he kind of turns back and looks at the crowd and, "We don't back down, right?" And which I popped for. And then he climbed in the ring and proceeded to get destroyed by Killer Cross. So that was a cool match and a funny bit. And then circling back to the Usos six man, Jimmy did a bit where he was going to throw his hat out to the crowd. And of course, anybody who's been watching knows he's a heel. He's not going to throw his hat to the crowd. So he kind of got each side like, "You want the hat?" And, you know, got the crowd popping. And then he just lowered his hat and dropped it down to the floor, like, you know, and got a huge boo out of the crowd. At which time the match was going on and Braun Strowman came around and grabbed the hat and put it on and walked back to his side of the ring and proceeded to throw it out into the crowd, which, you know, again, got himself over. The crowd popped. Some guy caught the hat, and during the middle of the match, the Usos kind of pulled off to the side and Jimmy kind of walked over and started jawing at the guy, "Give me my damn hat back," you know, and which was a lot of fun. And the guy kind of like put the hat down like he didn't have it or something. And the match went back on. And then later on during the match, Jimmy turns back to the crowd and says, "This is your last damn chance. Give me my hat back," you know, and it was just really fun. And that's kind of a lot of that stuff is what I miss from house shows. You just, it's a different experience than going to a pay-per-view or a Monday Night Raw or any of these bigger TV shows even, which are exciting for a different reason. But the house shows have always had these kind of fun little moments and bits in there. And I really enjoyed the house show, so I was glad I got to go to that. I've also been doing a lot of figure hunting, as I normally do. Been making towns, getting around to Targets and Walmarts. Been to a couple mom and pop specialty shops. And I guess starting off with Target has been the kind of the heavy mover, or the one that's got the most news going on. I stumbled into a Sammy Guevara Target exclusive, which I didn't even know was made. I guess if you're a big Sammy Guevara fan or a big AEW fan, maybe you already knew that was out there. I did not. And for me, I'm not really a fan of either, so that wasn't something I was interested in picking up. But they had a couple cases of them. I mean, it was like 10 or 12 of them on the pegs, which made it seem like it maybe wasn't a special figure or one that's going to be highly sought after. But I did also notice the Legend figures have hit, which once again, they've arrived before our Target orders have shipped, it looks like. So I was in one store and I saw a couple cases of Farouks on the pegs, just Farouks. Went into another store, saw, I'd say probably one set, maybe four Bradshaws, and then another store just had one Molly Holly, which is interesting. I guess they're selling these character individual cases on these. And so if you're out there, just know they're coming. And if you haven't seen them yet, they're coming, and there's going to be plenty of them, I think, because one of the last stores I went to had pretty much all of them and a lot of all of them. So I haven't seen the Chase Molly Holly yet, but other than that, I've seen plenty of pretty much everything. So keep your eyes open if you're in the market for those. And I did find myself a $16 clearance Ultimate Hogan, which was at the top of my list. So I was able to pick that up for $16, and I guess I'll say a nice try to whoever tried to stash that away, but I found it and picked it up. So yeah, if you're in the market for those, I'm pretty sure they're going to be slashing those countrywide soon. So hopefully you guys, if you're in the market for that $16 Hogan on clearance at Target, keep your eyes open. He's out there. From there, I'm going to move to the online sale of the Slamtown figures. And I was really excited about these figures when they were announced. Either my first line or second line, I can't even remember now at this moment, was the AWA Remco. So I had a lot of high hopes that I was excited that these figures were going to be made. And my hopes were that they would be kind of reimagined AWA figures. Maybe some of the characters from those line, from that line, I should say, would be reimagined and in scale with the Mattels, and it'd be a beautiful marriage of figures. I was a little bit disappointed in the first line, to be honest with you, mostly because I've already got Kerry Von Erich. I've already got Magnum TA. I know some people are getting them for the belts, and for me, I've already got custom belts of these that are tremendous from Dan Turnquist. So if you're in the market for just belts, you might consider checking out Dan or anybody else that makes custom belts. I happen to use Dan. I'm a big fan of his and his work. But at $50 a piece to get a belt or to get a guy that I already had in the same kind of deco, this wasn't for me, so I passed on the first series of these. I may end up getting them if I find them secondhand at a reduced price or something changes. But for now, I'm hoping to get some more characters from the AWA period. You know, give me a Jerry Blackwell, give me a Colonel De Beers, give me, you know, somebody from that AWA period I think would be really cool. Jimmy Garvin with the glitter pants and the suspenders, you know, something like that would be super cool to me. And hopefully that's going to happen in these waves. The figures do look really good from the pictures I've seen. They look great. So if you don't have a Magnum TA, maybe you missed them, or maybe you want another one. I don't knock anybody for getting these because they are great figures. Just doesn't line up for me personally. Moving off of figures back to actual wrestling and how it may intertwine with wrestling figures, because that's ultimately what my show is all about, is just wrestling figures. But the CM Punk fighting situation and the AEW fallout and all that stuff, it's going to be interesting because I think, I could be wrong, I think he has 2, maybe 3 figures announced or made with AEW. It'll be interesting to see if he's released from his contract, if he'll be back. Where does that stand? Where does that leave him? If he's gone from AEW, is he coming back to WWE? Is he done? Will we see any more CM Punk figures? Do we already have enough CM Punk figures? I mean, those are all valid questions, I think. Personally, I don't think he should be gone for his comments or for his actions backstage. I think it's a little bit heavy-handed. It's a little bit interesting to me that for a long time, people were saying that CM Punk was the man and Vince McMahon and Triple H, not so much, you know, and pretty much a lot of the internet community took Punk's side. And they went crazy when he returned, which, you know, whatever side you want to be on, that's fine, I suppose. But now that this fight happened backstage, it's been really interesting to see how people have kind of just turned on Punk. And ironically, what's really ironic about it is just prior to this with Punk, everybody turned on McMahon. You know, the internet people were all saying Vince McMahon is, you know, senile. He can't handle running the league. He's not good enough. He needs to leave WWE because he's, you know, out of touch, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like there's this weird CM Punk versus Triple H versus Vince McMahon thing going on. And there has been for a while. And now this chapter of the story is kind of that Vince gets exiled from WWE. And all of a sudden, people love Triple H again. he kind of was beloved and huge while he was with DX. And then when he left, it became, you know, the anti-Triple H, Stephanie McMahon thing started, and they're ruining wrestling, and then Vince is ruining wrestling. Well, Vince is gone. Now everybody loves Triple H, and he's the savior. And at the same time, he was the bad guy with CM Punk's falling out of WWE. Everybody said Triple H was to blame for that, and he screwed over Punk. And now Punk is the bad guy, and Triple H is the good guy. It's a lot to keep up with, guys. I never really subscribed to any of those narratives before, but now it's just kind of like everyone's exposed themselves, because now it's Punk should be gone from AEW. He should be fired. Triple H is the man. And it's just so backwards to what all those exact same people were saying for months and months and months. What's crazy to me about it, aside from all that hypocrisy, is that Punk has been abandoned, or they've turned their backs on him because he was in a fight. Like, a fight. This guy's a pro wrestler, and that blows me away that people are so upset that a pro wrestler would get in a fight. I think I was never a wrestler. I've never been backstage. I don't pretend to have inside information, but I'm pretty sure that sort of thing happened on a regular basis throughout the history of wrestling. And nobody was ever probably even suspended, let alone fired. So it seems a little snowflake-ish, or whatever you want to call it, that he should be fired because there was a fight backstage. A lot of people are saying that he attacked them and the Bucks and whoever, and it's his fault. I kind of look at some of the hints and the clues that we're hearing, and I can't help but say, first of all, I wasn't there, so I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody. It would be foolish for me to come out and say, well, Punk didn't do it, or he did it, or it's his fault, or it's not. Or I've heard people say the Young Bucks are the nicest guys in the world, and they wouldn't have possibly started a fight or done anything. And maybe that's true, but we weren't there. We don't know. But what we do know is one dude was biting somebody and somebody else was throwing chairs at people. And I'll just say, if you've ever been in a fight before, those are acts of desperation. Those are not acts of somebody who's just starting a fight. And it's not like somebody goes up to start a fight and just starts biting somebody. That's typically more or less somebody who's fighting for their life, or feels threatened, or is losing the fight. Or that's not something you don't lead in with bites, or, you know, just picking up a chair and throwing it at some guy's head. Again, I know my Twitter is a chair shot, but I don't espouse to be a chair shot specialist or know when or how or why people would throw a chair. But those tend to just look to me like things that somebody might do if they were in distress, if they were losing the fight, if they felt outnumbered, if they felt scared or like their lives were in danger, not just a provocative thing that somebody would do. So take that for what it may be. Yeah, other than that, I've heard of the Macho Man Ultimates hitting secondary stores somewhere, not here where I live in California, but elsewhere on the cheap. I'm sure hoping that thing hits here at some point, but we'll see what happens. Oh, one other thing about Vince McMahon and the hypocrisy portion that I was just talking about. I find it funny because it's part of the same thing. Is everybody always would say, oh, Vince just loves his big guys, and you know, he won't give any of the smaller guys a fair chance. He's just into the big guys, and that's all he pushes. And I remind everybody, as I saw at this house show, Cross coming back, Braun coming back, the White Rabbit stuff, which seems to point that it's going to be Bray Wyatt, you know, Ryback, Eric Rowan. There's a ton of these big guys, quote-unquote big guys, that, and they were all run out of town by Vince McMahon. It was Vince that didn't retain them or got in a dispute with them and they left, whatever it is. But I just found it interesting because it was once again kind of like, if Vince is the big guy king and that's all he's willing to work with, it was just interesting to see a handful of these guys coming back that Vince essentially ran out of town that Triple H now had to bring back. If Vince was just stuck on big men, Killer Cross is like a no miss. Braun Strowman is a no miss. Bray Wyatt is, I forgot who said it, but somebody said it best. Having Bray Wyatt get released was like, I think it might have been my friend Brian Breaker who said it, actually. That's like having The Undertaker get let go of in the height of his career back in the 90s or something like that. Just, that was just a mind-blowing release. And if Vince is just a big man pusher and doesn't want anything else, I thought it was amazing that I was watching all these big guys coming back that Vince ran out. So anyway, speaking of complaints, I also wanted to point out that it was brought to my attention that Ringside Collectibles has up on their website the crowdfunded New Generation Arena, the all three of the figures for sale. And as a fan, as a guy who pushed hard to get this thing back, the guy who bought the arena, I gotta say, man, this is massively disappointing to me. It's unbelievable that you could do a crowdfunded deal that we're all led to believe is a once-in-a-lifetime thing and hurry up and get your orders in, and now they're for sale on Ringside. So we were all lassoed in on the hope, on the idea that if we don't do this, we may never get, this may be it. And so I know that definitely worked on me. I jumped in and I encouraged everyone else to jump in. And now people that didn't do that for whatever reason, whether they didn't have the money, whether, I guess that would be the main thing, didn't participate, are now able to just pull up and buy the Macho Man by itself without even having to buy any of the other stuff that the rest of us were shoehorned into buying altogether. So that's really disappointing to me as a wrestling figure fan. I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but to me, you can't tell the diehards that this is your last chance to do this or it's going to go away and you have to buy everything. And then a couple months later, you're selling the prized possession of this kit was the Macho Man. And now anybody can just show up and buy them. And, you know, it affects the value of these things. It affects people's trust move forward. It's just overall, to me, it's a sour, sour thing for me. And I hope that somebody at Mattel is aware of this or gets wind of this somehow, either through this podcast or through other fans. I just don't think this was a good move or a good look for them. And I'm disappointed that that's going on. So hate to end the podcast on a negative, and so I'm not going to do that. I mentioned last episode that I was going to be doing a giveaway, and that's exactly what's going to be going on here. We are going to be giving away the Target Ultimate Edition Hulk Hogan. As I mentioned in the episode, I was able to score a clearance $16 Hogan, and so that means that I've got an extra, which I will be giving away. And I think it's a great Hogan figure. And if you don't have it, now's your chance to enter the contest. All you have to do is just shoot me an email at achairshot@gmail.com for your chance to win this free figure. I'll box it up and ship it out to you, no charge to you. So hopefully somebody will enter and win that and enjoy that figure. Guys, sometimes I get messages from different people in the community saying I didn't feel right entering this promo or whatever to get a figure. Please, by all means, enter, whether you have a podcast or whether you're doing something else in the community. I don't want anybody to feel like they shouldn't be able to enter. So if you're listening to this podcast, I appreciate you. You're a friend of mine, and it'd bring me joy to send this to you as much as anybody else. So please feel free to enter, and we'll get this Hogan out. We're going to be doing some more giveaways coming up. And I've got some guests that I'm talking to that we're working out some things, and hopefully we'll be getting back into a regular routine of having different guests back on the show. I appreciate you guys, all of you, anybody who's listening to this. I know there's a ton of podcasts out there, and it's time consuming. There's a lot of them out there. So the fact that anybody takes the time to listen to this podcast means the world to me. Appreciate you guys, and hopefully we'll continue to keep this rolling. Before I leave, as customary, I like to give shout outs. I have gotten a message asking why I do the shout outs, and just to kind of reiterate, that is what this podcast is about. It's about everybody else in the community and anybody who's ever spent time recording with me, talking to me. So the shout outs are a way for me to say thank you to anybody who's ever made something, whether I've bought it or not, figure photographers, just friends. And so I'll continue to do the shout outs. That's my way of saying thank you to all those in the community that have connected with me in some way. So first out of the gate, as always, is my great friend Drew Vensel. Drew's taking a break from his Tales from the Estate podcast for the time being. He's got twins, he's got work, he's got a busy life. But Drew's an awesome guy, and his friendship means the world to me. And take it from me, there's nothing wrong with taking a break on the podcast and putting them out when you want to. Podcasting is an on-demand thing, and I enjoy bringing these to you guys when I can, but the unrealistic idea of feeling like you have to put them out or there's a schedule, I don't subscribe. So shout out to you, Drew. We'll be here when you decide to come back with your podcast. In the meantime, I appreciate your friendship, brother. I say it every episode, and I'll say it again. Get over and check out the Wrestling Figure Database. We got every figure ever created on one website. Shout out to you, Dylan. Shout out to my buddy Nate at Ring Skirts. Nate just constantly provokes the stoke. He keeps me going in this hobby. He's always bouncing ideas off me, showing me things I hadn't seen before. And I appreciate you, brother. Shout out. Shout out to JJ over at Custom Toy Rings. This dude makes incredible rings, cages, tables, whatever you can think of. I'm hoping to get my setup in a place where I can commission something from JJ, and I would suggest everybody go check out his stuff, and if you're interested, commission him. Guy makes incredible stuff. Shout out to you, JJ. Shout out to Warren Warsman. I can't tell you how many heads I've gotten from Warren. Go over to his shop, support him. You can get ahead of pretty much any wrestler you can think of, and they are fun and they're awesome to have in your collection. So shout out to you. And shout out to my buddy Slick Srick at Curb Stomp Customs. Again, you can get the attire, the tattoos for pretty much any wrestler you can think of. He'll make new stuff if you think of something that you don't see in the shop. Get over there and support Srick. He's an awesome dude and a big time contributor to this hobby. Shout out to Dan Turnquist. Dan makes the greatest belts out there that I've seen. Support Dan. Shout out to the Cali contingent, my buddy Manny at Figure Kingdom and Dobro. Shout out to GBM and all the collectors helping collectors. Shout out to Brian Clark, aka Adam Bomb, Chella Toys, Junk Shop Dog, Jason Wolf, Grenville, aka Hasbook, and Al over at M&M. Shout out to Cal Peterson, Nick Haddix, Steve Hoker, Matthew Goldberg, Rad Chad, and Ralphie Vibes. And shout out to all my friends that are doing other podcasts. Fully Posable, Drunk Wrestling History, In the Marbles, No Holds Barred with Bill Benis, Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, You Know It's Fake Right, and the TV Toycast. That's it for me, guys. I appreciate you checking out this podcast, and I hope that everybody takes care of each other, helps each other, spreads positivity amongst each other, and not division. And I hope that you guys will join me again right here next time. I'm pulling up a chair. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and click clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HairShot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.